On our anniversary, there's just a couple key things that I'd like to share, and some crazy stats. But one of the stats as we were talking as a staff this past week was that over in the next couple months, in the past couple months, we've had 20 babies that will be born or have been born, which is crazy, right? I mean, is that not crazy to anybody else? Babies being born, which means healthy relationships are happening and stuff like that. Some of you, you'll get that later. It was a cold winter, I heard. Okay. Wow. Hey, we're going to grow this thing one way or the other, right? One way or the other. And hey, listen, it's not just through that. It's through fostering, through adopting. We believe that as the church, that James is real when it talks about our responsibility when it comes to fostering and adopting, that Royal Family Kids is not just a camp. John Bosco is not just a once a month deal. In fact, I said this in the first service, and I'll continue to say it, that our responsibility as a church moving forward, this is a bold statement, that at some point we will be the church that leads the charge when it comes to adoption and fostering, not because Life Community Church is special, but because we're available, we're flexible, we're being teachable in these areas. But I think John Bosco and what John Bosco represents, that at some point in the future, we will be a place for kids that are in the foster care system to be adopted and to come to a healthy role. And I believe it'll be a 365, 24/7 deal that we will be responsible for. I believe that. And I believe God is going to use and partner so many different people for that dream to come to fruition. So I do. I really believe that. As I look around this room and as I looked around the room in the first service, the amount of people the last 8 years that have been affected by what God is doing in Columbia is astronomical. And I'm so appreciative of the team that God has placed in our lives. From our staff to our board to our overseers. But me personally, I'm more blown away by God using and doing incredible things, as Jim just said, despite me. Despite what I represent, despite my past, and despite who I am, God says, you know what? I can use a donkey, I can use you too. Which is what some days it feels like. But I just want it for a moment, and I didn't do this in the first service, but listen, I cannot thank my wife enough for, you know, they say behind every successful man is a surprise woman. No, I'm just kidding. is really the heartbeat of who I am. And listen, and you guys know this, like as men, you understand this. When God puts you with the right woman, things just happen, and they don't happen overnight. They don't happen magically. It's God's plan, and I am very appreciative of my wife and all that she does and all that she represents here. And for the most part, it is behind the scenes. It is doing the things that she loves to do. But again, most of the success of what happens in this house is because of her humility and who she is. And so I just want to give her the props that she's worthy of. And I know she would expect me to say this. She's hot too. Okay, so. See, just like that, I can ruin it. Just like that. Judges chapter 2, a passage I would like to read to you. Two scriptures. Judges chapter 2. It's talking about Joshua, and it's talking about Joshua and his victories. It's talking about how Joshua, as a man, in his 110 years of living, had seen some incredible things. He'd been to the promised land, he'd been through successful victories, he's had his share of defeats, but for the most part, Joshua was a man living successfully, okay? And it says this about him. It says, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance, and the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him, who had seen the great things the Lord has done for Israel. I think we have a responsibility as a people, no matter who your people are, who are in your life, you have a responsibility to share all the great things that God has done in your life. It's not just as a dad, it's not just as a husband, it's not just even as a man, it's as individuals that you and I have a responsibility, because the danger place that you and I live is when we don't share, the effects will affect our life. When I'm not sharing all that God does, if I'm not sharing the times he's answered my prayers, the times that he's intervened, the times that he's extended grace, the times that I've messed up and he showed up, if I'm not experiencing and sharing those things, we're missing out on the greatest responsibility that every single person in this room has. And that is the greatest responsibility, that we have an opportunity to share what God has done. Because the danger is, verse 8, when it says, "And then Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110, and they buried him in the land of his inheritance. And after the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and they served the Baal." So here's the danger. When I don't share, there rises up a hard-hearted generation. There rises up a generation that doesn't know. They rise up a generation that has no clue, not because they're ignorant and not even because they're lazy, which is what we usually do to another generation. We're like, "Oh, that's just the lazy, untalented, not gifted, stupid generation." It has nothing to do with that. They don't know because no one's told them. And more than that, no one's taken the responsibility for not telling them. So it's easy to project negativity and complain about them and to say they're no good and they're no talented. It's not even true. They're smarter than the generation before. My generation is intelligent. The generation, they're even more intelligent. They have more access. They have more giftings. It's just accelerating. It works this way. The next generation can be more intelligent. The generation after that can get more intelligent. If we start hanging up with like, "Well, we're the best generation ever," then guess what I do with the rest of the generations? I dismiss them and I'm quiet towards them. And when I'm quiet towards them, I'm missing the greatest opportunity that we have. And the opportunity is to share what God has done. This is the most scary scripture to me in all the Bible, that there was a generation who had seen incredible things, and that there was a generation after that that did not know the Lord or any of the things that he had done. How does that happen? Which is where I go. I go instantly to, how does that happen? When you and I forget the why of what we do, that's how that happens. If I can answer the why, then I'll do anything. Why do I need to go to the leper people in a country halfway around the world? Like, why do I need to do that? Because they need to hear the gospel. Why do I need to go to my neighbor who is a complete jerk, who doesn't like anything that I stand for? He does this in my yard, he does that. Why do I need to? Because he's a jerk and he needs Jesus. That's why you need to go. If we fail to communicate, we're missing the greatest opportunity. Acts chapter 6 also shares this as well. It says in verse 1, "But as the believers rapidly multiply, there were rumblings of discontent." Do you hear the same sentence? Church is growing, complaining's happening. Sean's driving, men are complaining. That's what I heard. Sean's taking them somewhere positive, men are complaining. All right. Here, did you hear the double standard of that verse right there? The church is growing, and not just growing, growing rapidly, which means crazy growth. People are being added. I'll read the stats in a second. And people are grumbling. There's discontent. Greek-speaking believers are complaining against Hebrew-speaking believers, saying their widows are being discriminated against, all these things. The apostles should spend our time teaching, they say, the word of the Lord, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected, full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility. Check this out. Then we apostles should spend our time in prayer and teach the word. And everyone likes the idea. That's a miracle sentence right there. Do you know how hard it is to get everyone to like an idea? I was just with 22 teenagers. Getting every single one of them to like the restaurant you were attending. Right? Come on. It's like, I have teenagers. Everyone to like the idea. How impossible is that? Hear what he's saying. He's saying, first and foremost, 120 people in Acts chapter 1, they hear the message, they hear the gospel, they say, yes, we're going to believe, we're going to do great things, 120 people. And then it continues. Acts 2 says 3,000 people were added that day. Acts 2:47, the Lord added daily those being saved. Acts 4:4, the number of men grew to about 5,000. Acts 5:14, more and more men and women believed and were added to their number. Acts 6:1, numbers of disciples are increasing. This rapid growth is happening so fast. Yet people are focusing in on the negativity, the complaining. They're missing the point. There is a danger, you guys. As we grow, there is a danger as men and women, if we fail to show what God has done, if we fail to talk about what God has done, and it's also a danger to hinder the growth that we are complaining and we're seeing, looking around going, well, she should be doing this and she should be doing this. No, it's every single one of us liking the idea of doing our part, and it's seeing that other people have a part. Listen, we had an 11-year-old, Pat pointed out, 11-year-old playing the drums, okay? Listen, what is that? That is someone doing his part, okay? It's not just drums, it's greeting, it's going out, it's missions, it's all of these moving parts. It's all of these things. The greatest question I feel like I've ever asked people as we planted wasn't like, this is what Life Community Church is going to be about. It was the question after you came to the Who We Are lunch that I just said this, what has God put on your heart? You know where all of the things that we've done have started? That question. What has God put on your heart? This has not been about, hey, this is what Life Community Church is going to be about. You know what Life Community Church is going to be about? The giftings and the dreams that God has put on your heart and us stirring them up, sometimes ticking you off. Like, my job is to tick you off at times. Yeah. My job is to step on some of that pride. My job is to kick you sometimes, not physically, but kick you in the pants spiritually to get you motivated, to get you going. Yes, it's difficult sometimes to hear, but the giftings, what Timothy's telling, or Paul's telling Timothy, is to stir up the gift. What is that? There's things inside your heart that needs to be shocked back to life, and that is our job. Because God put something inside you, and because he's put something inside you, you have to move in it. That is your job, and we get to be a part of it. And I'm not taking the credit for it. I'm not going, look at what Life Community is doing. I'm saying, look what God's doing through you that we get to support, that we get to put money into. We get to gather other people around. It's not just one person doing it. It's like now it's activating other people to say, hey, I want to be a part of that. Why? Because you've spoken, and you've spoken life, and because you've spoken life, you're going, I want to be part of things that are thriving, that are growing, that are alive. We want to be a part of that. Okay, this is what this is about. And he's saying, as we're growing, there has to be some solutions. And you today, the biggest prayer that I'm going to pray is, God, every single person in this room, I pray right now that you would make them a non-complaining, non-grumbling, but a group of people that want solution. God, that you would make this people to where everyone likes the idea. Man, that is a miracle prayer, you guys. That is impossible with man. Man, I'm getting stressed out just thinking about it. Kidding, every single one of you, like, it freaks me out. Only God could have done that. Only God could do that. And so it is. This is the prayer. God, how do we get on the same page, moving forward in the same way, doing what God has called us to do, and not being people that grumble and complain about, not being people who are saying, well, you're doing this, and I'm doing this, and I want to be a part of this. Nope, let's get on the same page, moving forward, so that the church can continue to grow. So that the church can continue to grow. Why?
Because there is a thing that God wants to do on the earth that you and I get to be a part of. And because you and I get to be a part of, we cannot be the people that hinders it from stopping from this generation, the next generation, the generation after that. This is our responsibility. Our responsibility is this, okay? 3 years ago, I asked at our third year anniversary, I asked Jim and Pat to come and be a part and to share. And some of you, you may have been at that. We're at the middle school. And Jim and Pat shared that day about Relevant Expeditions. But also that day, I said to you that 2013, moving into 2014, 2015, we will have to get a different building. I'm not standing in front of you saying we got to get a different building. But we do have a good problem, but a problem nonetheless. And the problem, first and foremost, is I do not want to go to a third service. And neither does my staff, as you can hear. The only amen Sean gave was, come on, Pastor, no third service. That will require us to get creative in the next 6 months as we grow. Okay, what does that look like? I don't even know. I don't know. I'm not standing in front of you with a building idea. I'm not standing in front of you. I got that sketched out in my office if you ever want to look at it. It's on a piece of paper. But anyway, side note. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying that at first and foremost, some of you in this room need to become morning people. Meaning you need to become 9 a.m. people. Okay? That's first and foremost. Like, I encourage, like, there is a rule of thumb that when we get to 80% capacity, you literally stop growing. Okay? It's just a rule of thumb. There's people in this room that they like their space. There's some people in this room, they don't mind being crowded. They actually enjoy it. But most people, they like their space. They don't like this tightness. I'm good with it. You guys, but I'm up here. Okay? Lots of room up here. Maybe we put chairs up here. I don't know. I'm thinking ahead, okay? I want you also to think ahead. I don't want this to be like in 6 months that we come to you and say, hey, this is an idea. I want God to speak to you and say, hey, what's some of the things? Because this is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is that God puts things on our hearts. Yes, we get to lead and we get to steward and we get to decipher through what God is doing, but this is us doing our part, being solution people. And we can come in here every week and say, oh, it's too crowded, or I'm complaining about this, or I'm complaining about that, or we can speak life into it and see it continue to grow, which is what I believe our heartbeat is. And there's also the mindset where it's like, well, I like the smallness, okay? Listen, there's health to things that grow. And that's the point. And when I'm complaining and when I'm murmuring and when I'm grumbling, I'm hindering things from growing. Okay? Try it. Go home and start complaining about your marriage. Let me know how that goes. It's not going to go well. I'm going to just throw that out there. I'm letting you know up front. Why? Because it hinders growth. It's no different here. Okay? So as we move forward into year 8, we continue to grow by being solution people. Amen? By speaking life, by telling the next generation, all that God has done, okay? By telling the next generation what God has done in our lives. Write it down, put it in a box, share it with them daily. This is so important. Amen? Let me pray for us. Would you stand? I'm going to actually ask if Mike Plain would come. Mike, would you come? Mike is one of our overseers, and I'm going to ask if he would pray. And ask if you would pray for us.
Lord Jesus, just sitting here and thinking about through the years of watching this kingdom representative called Life Community Church, just watching the growth, not only in just numerically, but just watching the growth in the lives of the people and the families, and just being here today, seeing the individuals even up here worshiping, leading worship, Lord, that I've watched their growth and their gifting coming forth. I can't think of anything that's more beautiful than the expression of a group of people who are allowing God to use them, who are relentlessly pursuing with a passionate love the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I thank you, Lord, for 8 years. They've not all been amazing. Anytime you build something, there's years of blood, sweat, and tears. And then you come into those years where you begin to see good things. But Lord, I pray that Life Community Church will not settle for the good when there's the best. For the good has kept many out of the best. I pray that in this house, there is a heart for the best of what God has, for the purposes of this community, of this entity of the kingdom of God. And so, Lord, I pray that your presence increases, that the power of God resides in every individual in this house. And there is an increase of the passion and the purpose of God that's growing in them day by day by day. I thank you, Lord, for your purposes are unlimited. I thank you that these are a people that pray passionately. I thank you that this house is filled with a people that love tenaciously. And I pray that these are a people who believe unwaveringly. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you because of those things, that there are the greatest days ahead of them, that there are just simply amazing things, God, that you want to do in this region and you want to use this house. I thank you that you increasingly, on purpose, God, you begin to grow Jamie and Kelly in areas of their lives, God, that they have yet to experience. I thank you for the anointing of God upon their lives increasing. I thank you that their eyes are becoming clear, God, and more defined. I thank you, Lord, that the grace upon their life increases unmeasurably. I thank you for the grace of God being poured out in such a way. I thank you for the favor of God. That as Jamie and Kelly lead this place, Lord, I thank you that your favor surrounds them like a shield. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your light.